Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their seasons as the Black Knights seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophies. As for Football can be found on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, and all other social media platforms at As for Football. Sign up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for the continued support of As for Football and West Point Athletics.
You know, Saturday night, bought my $9.99 ESPN Plus subscription, get into the Army game, and there was a lot of disappointment from the camera angles to the officiating to the commentary and the audio. Like, all of that was terrible. I will say that I will admit when I'm wrong, the offense looked way better than we were expecting. They looked put together like they had practiced, dynamic play calling from Brent Davis. Offensive line looked great. So kind of a bit of a mixed bag. You know, we saw some bad things on defense. Offense looked fantastic. I was incorrect about that. I'll go on record and saying that, you know, those of us who called this out for the scrimmage and the way the offense performed, you were right. We might have put a little too much stock in that. But we'll break it down. Welcome to the As for Football Army Football Show. This is your host, Jordan, in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Rob, how, you were at the game. Can you tell us about that? How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I was living in a sea of teal. So I actually sat in like the alumni / instructor section. So I was sitting with a bunch of teachers at Coastal Carolina. I will tell you, for a small stadium, really great view. Got some great footage. I actually sent the video out, and I think everybody kind of saw that, of Jacoby Buchanan's touchdown, which was awesome. I had a really great angle to see it. Not a bad stadium, really. I mean, it's kind of small. I mean, I think there's probably high school students that have just as big or bigger stadiums. But from a perspective of being able just to watch a game and enjoy it, it was cool. My favorite thing, I'll highlight it at the end, but I had good company around me, so I wasn't just by myself in the sea of teal. I would tell you, you know, it seemed like there was a little bit of home cooking, to go back to your point about the referees making some calls that still make me scratch my head. And the one that like gets me the most is, how does a personal foul on the 35-yard line equate to half the distance as a goal? And I will pause there, because that was like the head scratcher of head scratchers for the rest of the game for me. And I was still trying to figure that out. And I'm still trying to figure it out today, because I'm just not sure that that was the right call.
Yeah, a lot of questionable officiating. Saw some MMA rear naked chokes, maybe some WWE moves. Dan, did you see anything you recognized from your WWE days? I guess days is not a great way to put it, but from your avid pursuit of WWE.
Well, so first off, let me correct you and say that I am in fact a fan of All Elite Wrestling. And yeah, my man Jon Moxley uses that rear naked choke that we saw some of the Coastal Carolina offensive lineman putting on Andre Carter II several times. Like, that's a big time move from him, and it brought back a little bit of deja vu. You know, when I watched the pay per view the next night on Sunday, I was like, "Hey, I've seen that." Anyway, yeah, frustrating game. I thought Army had every chance to win. I like the way that Brent Davis called it. I really thought that, you know, yeah, there are some things that you can change, but if they're giving you looks over the top, man, at least they're taking those shots and actually hitting them. So I was encouraged despite the outcome.
Yeah, Dan, I completely agree with you. And, you know, that 74-yard pass, as soon as we dropped back, I was like, why are we throwing it? And then he threw it and he connected deep. And I was like, and that's why we threw it. Like, it was just perfect. I mean, there's nobody even close to him. So that was great to see. We got to see Robinson, you know, run, you know, get the pitch and take the outside and like a true option. So it really looks like there's a lot more confidence in the quarterbacks, and they're actually kind of running the option and allowing them to actually, kind of call plays as it develops instead of just kind of going out, hey, this is a design, whatever it is. So we'll talk about that in a second. Dan, why don't you take us through our sponsor, what he's been up to?
So, yeah, as you know by now, if you listen to this show, Craig Oxane is the vice president of residential lending at Draper and Kramer in Chicago. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed in all 50 states. And just like AEW, he is based out of Chicago. He is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country, offers super competitive rates. Friends, this mortgage process is super confusing. Rates are all over the place. Like, maybe it's a good time to buy because interest rates are going up, but prices are coming down. You know, I don't know. I can tell you that Craig is the guy that you're looking for, right? This is how the West Point Network functions. He's here to help us stay in business, and he's here to help you get the best deal that you possibly can on a mortgage. He's going to streamline the process. He doesn't charge lenders fees for veterans. That'll save you about $1,300. Like, this is the deal. If you're looking to buy a house, and you may be, hopefully you are, like we're totally in favor of home ownership here on the Ask for Football show. Definitely reach out to Craig. His link is on our website. You'll fill out a little questionnaire. He's going to streamline the process for you. That process is super confusing and it sucks. So take it from somebody you can trust, Craig Oxane.
Yeah, he's one of the, I think, top 1% of mortgage lenders in the country. So, you know, if you got into West Point, you're top 1%, go with another top 1%er. So, Coastal Carolina. So, as we expected, Army got into a shootout with a truly dynamic offense led by one of the very best QBs in all of college football. I saw they had a mock-up of a Heisman Trophy at the game. You know, Grayson McCall is a junior, but, you know, he's getting looked at for the Heisman. Got some looks last year. So, that being said, our offense mostly ran the ball pretty effectively, 202 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. That 5.2 is a little skewed because we broke a couple long runs and then we got kind of stuffed at the line of scrimmage a couple times. But, you know, for example, Tyrell Robinson broke a 70-yard touchdown off an inside counter. We had more successes, but not 70-yard touchdowns kind of throughout the game. Jacoby Buchanan, 8 carries for 29 yards, 3.6 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, several critical short down yardages. You know, he still does not have a negative yardage play in his career. Tyson Riley was at 11 carries for 29 yards. He had more successes earlier in the game. I don't know if he got tired or they just got used to kind of the way he ran the ball, but he got a little stuffed at the line, you know, later on in the third and the fourth quarter. And then slot back, Ajuan Marshall took 3 pitch plays for 17 yards, and then Tyre Tyler struggled with 5 carries for 5 yards. Coastal really keyed on him personally, especially early. That kind of prevented him from being as dynamic as we've usually seen him. Cade Ballard also got involved and didn't do a ton, but you know, Tyler definitely got the start and Cade was kind of in some interesting positions. So we won't hold that against him. But overall, the Army quarterbacks went 4-8 passing, 2 long touchdown passes for 73 and 54 yards respectively. 1 interception on a pass Tyler was trying to throw away. And then, like we said, Coastal crowded the line late. Army took advantage over the top. We had to do that, but we lost the time of possession badly, and the defense eventually wore down. So, Dan, that interception, that was kind of a glaring mistake. And in a lot of ways, yeah, you should have thrown it away. We maybe shouldn't even have run a play. We should have taken it to the quarter. Being totally honest, you know, the ESPN Plus broadcast didn't have a play clock, so I don't know how much was left, if that was even an opportunity. But what are your thoughts on kind of that decision to throw that pass and then the offense as a whole?
Well, okay. So I thought the offense as a whole looked good, as I said. Like, you'd rather dominate the line of scrimmage a little bit more, especially late in the game when it was very clear that Army's defense was getting gassed in the humidity. Coach talked about that play where Tyre threw the pass, the interception. He was trying to throw it away. And he was trying to avoid intentional grounding, not really realizing in the moment that he was outside the tackle box, which is why he threw it in bounds. But being outside the tackle box, he could have thrown it 3, you know, rows into the stands. In coach's words, those aren't even my words. That's what coach said. And, you know, I'm not going to kill the guy. You make a decision in the moment and it's a bad decision. He was literally just trying to heave it past the play and he just didn't get it there.
Yeah. I wouldn't kind of look at that as like a bellwether for passing. I think kind of those 2 long touchdown passes, 73 yards. When was the last time Army got a 73-yard touchdown and then followed it up with a 54-yard touchdown?
Yeah, I don't think we've seen that since maybe the Air Force game in 2019 when the quarterback, the Jabari Laws, went, I think, 9 of 11, 8 of 11, something like that, with a couple of long touchdown passes. But it's definitely not the norm, and it's indicative that some crazy stuff is going on and Army is trying to work with what the defense has given them. And I always find it encouraging when they succeed because it's going to open up the rest of the offense. If not this week, then next week.
Exactly. And, you know, the more we can get on film of us kind of showing that dominance over the top, the more teams are going to have to pull those safeties back and not play them 5 yards off the ball. And then that opens up the inside run. So I think we're kind of playing the long game there, which I like. And I think Brent Davis is being very conscious of that. And, you know, it's taken time to develop Tyler as a passer and a runner. So it's good to see that he's, you know, doing both very well. And I think that's going to be kind of pay dividends down the stretch as we get into the kind of meat of the schedule.
Yeah, I don't think the problem here was that the offense wasn't sort of keeping up. I think the problem is that the defense just couldn't get a stop late. And that's, you know, they never gave up a big play. They played a lot of bend but don't break. They forced 2 punts and 1 field goal, but they were visibly gassed in the second half. And, you know, Coastal just had these long, efficient drives. They moved the chains. I mean, that's a good offense. We knew this.
Yeah, exactly. Rob, from your perspective, you know, being at the game, what did our defense look like? Because on the broadcast, it looked like Carter was getting held and choked and tripped every play. Inside, you know, we're having some issues, you know, containing. It didn't look like we could really contain McCall as he scrambled. What were your observations?
All right, so what I saw, two things. I saw some defensive packages that were coming in, so they were scheming around the offense. One of the things I did see, I saw a matchup of Kabina Bonsu and Andre Carter were kind of moving together. So whichever side Bonsu went to, that was the side that Carter went to. So I think they were trying to increase Andre Carter's getting loose with Kabina Bonsu kind of sucking up a couple more blocks. However, doesn't matter when the opposing offense is basically leg whipping, tackling, and there's a lot of garbage going on inside. And I'm okay with garbage play inside as long as they call it every now and then. And that's part of my problem. So, like, you call Bonsu for a personal foul, that literally, you know, way back in the day would have been a 5 yard variety. But you've got dudes basically choking our players, tackling them. And it's like, look, you know, simple rule for holding is if it's inside the pads, we give you some grace. But if it's outside the shoulder pads, then that's a hold. And a lot of those plays weren't being called. But that being said, we had a lot of our defensive linemen that were getting pushed back because their pad level was way too high against the offensive line of Coastal. And because their pad level was so high, they weren't able to take a proactive move towards the ball carrier. And the other part of it was Buckley was so short that literally what he would do is he would just run into the line and then look for the crack. And then that's how he was breaking out. And because the pad level was so high on our guys, they couldn't see him because he was short, you know? So if you're up tall looking at the offensive lineman's shoulder and the guy's shorter than you, he's just going to run to the path of least resistance, which he did fairly well, particularly in the second half. You know, if you look at the time of possession, that's really what killed the game for Army. You know, Coastal did to us what we normally do to other teams and just hold the ball and drain the defense. And it was hot and humid down there. So guys were cramping. You saw it just about every TV timeout. People were drinking water, or stretching their calves. And that's just the telltale sign of the heat and humidity down there. But again, I think that the defense could have played better. It'll be interesting what adjustments they make on the defensive line to free up the linebackers, because there is a collision 3 yards deep just about every play.
Yeah, exactly. And Rob, one thing I wanted to highlight that you said is, you know, inside the pads, you're good. If it's outside the pads, it should be holding. And you're exactly right in that definition. Carter is so fast. He's 6'7", 260, and he got outside the tackle every single play. Every play, the tackle was beat, and he just had to hold on for dear life. And that's the only reason, you know, Carter didn't get a sack every single play, was because the guy was just holding onto his neck or trying to choke him. So it's frustrating that we have a guy that good and the refs just kind of turn a blind eye to it. Obviously, we're partial. You know, every play that he doesn't get a sack, we probably think there's a hold. But they didn't call any. So it's unfortunate. But Dan, I know you've said that they're a good team. Rob, before I go to Dan for his thoughts, anything else with the defense?
Yeah, just the one last thing that I would say is, like, so for instance, say that one of our defensive players got loose and took a shot at, you know, McCall. They would have thrown the flag almost immediately. That's kind of the feeling that I got. So, like, if somebody hit him around the head or ran through him, you know, after he got the ball away or something like that, I can almost assure you, given the way that the game was called, that would have happened. And so it's frustrating because you put your players at a disadvantage. The players are put at a disadvantage by the referees, and that should never happen in a football game. Like, if everybody's playing dirty and nobody's calling anything, I'm cool with that. You know, I get it. It's part of the game. But, you know, when it's one-sided, it makes it really, really difficult. The other thing that I'll caveat before we kind of move on is this was their bowl game this season so far. Listening to the alumni and the people that were in the stands, they wanted to beat us as bad as we wanted to beat Missouri when that game was announced last year. And the reason why I say that is because they were heaping so much praise on our program. They're like, we have to beat Army because it makes Coastal better in the rankings because you guys are such a good team. So that's the kind of intangible thing that was being said that nobody got to see, and it definitely didn't come out in the broadcast. But Coastal Carolina had the utmost respect for the Army team. And unfortunately, their play did not reflect their words.
Yeah,
that definitely didn't come across.
No, it felt like we were Remember the Titans. And, you know, it's like that final game and every single thing is a flag. Dan?
Yeah, like we said, this team has won 22 games in 2 years. That's actually amazing. These guys are really good. Their schedule was not super hard last year, so it's a little bit hard to say, you know, how good they were or weren't. But 22 games in 2 years, that's legit no matter what. Like, that's just a level of consistency that's actually amazing. The other thing to point out here is Grayson McCall. He went 12 of 17 passing, 71% completion percentage, which is elite all by itself, but that includes three drops. My man threw 17 passes. He was off target twice. By way of comparison, that is 5 to 10% more accurate than Russell Wilson, who is probably the most accurate passer I have ever seen. So you just, like, we're going to talk about Frank Harris. He's a really good quarterback. Grayson McCall was 25% more accurate than Frank Harris last week. That is mind-numbing. It's otherworldly. You know, and then the other thing is, the knock on this team was that they had a bunch of new players, you know, all the like the SP plus is like, hey, they didn't return a bunch of production. That is not to say that the guys that they promoted sucked. It's just nobody had seen them play. And I think especially along the offensive line, that was not bad. Like, those guys were good. They did a good job run blocking, especially. So, yeah, you know, it's always a little bit sketchy to take too much from these preseason rankings. And, you know, like I said, I thought this should be about a 10-point spread. After the game, I thought, yeah, that should have been about a 10-point spread.
Thanks, Dan. Let's go ahead and move on to the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've already covered a lot of this, but Dan, we'll just keep it with you to do the good, and then Rob can take the bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jacoby Buchanan, like, what a man that guy is. He just gets those tough yards. Like, there is no defense that is too big for him to run over. You know, we've seen him run over SEC dudes. We've seen him run over Coastal dudes. I'm quite sure we're going to see him run over UTSA dudes. Like, Jacoby Buchanan is just the legit deal. And then the other thing is, you know, it's great. How many millions of times have we seen the defense stack the box against Army and Army just can't do anything? So if they're going to do that, you have got to throw over the top. You have to. And that makes such a huge difference. And it was there all night. I'm quite sure it would have been, it continued to be there. Yeah. So that was great. Both those things are great.
Rob.
And now the ugly, right? Just basically, here's what it boils down to. You know, the one stat that matters, first downs. Army had 11, Coastal Carolina had 30. And that kind of plays into the time of possession discussion, which really, really was lopsided for Army, which is usually the reverse of that. And so we kind of got the outcome that we got. Defensive penalties, again, we talked about the officiating, but sometimes it was just a little frustrating. You know, the face mask call, that was kind of weird. And then multiple pass interference calls. One was probably legit. The one in the back corner of the end zone, I disagree with. Yeah, it hit Markrell Broughton in the back of the head, but there was zero contact with the Coastal Carolina player, or the Coastal player actually came into the defensive player, and that should have been offensive pass interference. But again, I would have been fine with a no call. A no call is better than a call like that because it actually changed the opportunity in the game, and that's ultimately what it is. A penalty should not change the outcome of the game if the refs are doing it right. And the other part of it is call something the other way. If you think you made a bad call as a referee, if you have an opportunity to kind of rectify it within the whistles, go ahead and do it. And I just didn't see that happening. And then the last part, of course, was absolutely no pressure on Grayson McCall. And I don't know if it's because his line was good or if our defensive scheme just wasn't set up for the new players that they have on offense. So I think it's there's some work that needs to be done in the interior line. I think the secondary played as well as they could, given the fact that every time they turned around, they were either chasing down a running back that had gotten loose from the interior line, or they were trying to cover somebody that was basically on a freaking fly pattern the whole time. But other than that, yeah, that was the bad, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the ugly was just the ESPN Plus coverage. It looked like it was shot by a drunken intern on an old iPhone. It was hard to follow. We missed plays all the time. It just, it almost made me seasick just watching that. It was obviously announcers knew nothing about Army, frankly, didn't care. It was just like, it felt like they like pulled their high school broadcast group, couple kids out of TV production, like, hey, you guys are shooting something on ESPN this weekend. It was just, it was bad. We also saw that blatant homism for the Sun, from the Sun Belt officiating crew, no holding penalties, questionable PI that Rob talked about, and then extracurriculars. You know, I was counting on Twitter, you know, number 66 had to get pulled off of one of our guys after multiple whistles by the refs 3 times. And the refs just kind of said, oh, don't do that. And then they let him go. And it's like, you know what? If that was one of our guys, first play would have been a 20-yard penalty. And so that's just kind of frustrating to see that, you know, our guys are getting pushed after the play and stuff like that. And the refs, you know, aren't even, not that they're not even throwing a penalty, they're then turning to our guys and like we initiated, even though we're the ones that got pushed. Overall, I just don't think it was a very pleasant experience. Would not want to go back to Conway, South Carolina anytime soon. Will not be going there to vacation anytime soon. Like I said, it was the hub of Hooters Air and number one most dangerous city in America, according to the FBI last year. So I'll be okay if we never have to play Coastal Carolina again. I'll ask the group. Coastal, are they as bad, trashy, hickish, hillbilly, whatever you want to call it, as Western Kentucky, who started a fist fight at Army on 9/11 last year? Who's worse?
I didn't see the fist fight from WKU last year. I came away from the Western Kentucky game. Maybe it's because they won. I came away with that one, you know, feeling good about it and rooting for Bailey Zappi down the stretch. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I people get upset and tempers get heated in football fields, and an isolated incident isn't that much. What really bothered me was seeing that guy getting pulled off our guys multiple times with just the stern talking to, like, my man is visibly kicking, you know, but whatever.
Yeah, I think that's what I could live without is the home cooking. All right. So next time let's play it on a neutral field. If we got to play Coastal again and, you know, or get a better officiating crew, you know, I mean, they do it all the time in MMA. Like, if you don't like the ref, you change him out. You know, the fighter's like, no, I don't like that guy. He's got to go. You know, maybe that's something that college football can implement, because we can snitch on dudes for fake injuries. Then we should be able to adjust for, you know, craptastic referees that we've watched call bad games. I don't know. But personally, you know, I had a great time. And again, it's kind of linked back to my favorite thing, so I'm saving it till the end. But I was sitting around a bunch of people, with the exception of like one fan. That was, everybody was super, super complimentary of Army. They were talking about how, you know, how the Coastal coach even made them feel bad, because he was like, hey, the difference between our players and Army players is they're willing to die for each other. Our guys are just playing football. So, like, again, all the compliments and everything else was very, very complimentary. I just wish the play on the field was commiserate with the words that I was hearing in the stands from the small group of people that I was sitting around.
Yeah, I know Dan said earlier, but it is unfortunate that kind of that attitude really didn't manifest itself in the way that they played, or the announcers or the refs, you know, did their jobs. So that being said, Dan, you want to take us through our mailing list?
Yeah, so I have a secret. I have turned on social media. Like, I still enjoy Twitter, but where I used to enjoy Twitter in a, like, this is breaking news sense, now it's like watching a car wreck, right? And I feel like every time I go on there, it's a miracle if I don't wind up arguing about with, you know, Navy Daddy 69 on some social media site. Like, it's useless. I'm not learning anything. He's not learning anything. You know, people suck, like, bottom line. So what I've realized is, don't follow us on social media unless you absolutely want to. What you need to do is go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. And I mention this because people ask me all the time, like, how do I follow As for Football? But obviously, you can just go to the website. But the best way to follow us right now, today, in the year of our Lord 2022, is to subscribe to our mailing list. You won't miss anything. We're going to send you exactly one email during the week. It's going to link to that week's content, whatever that is. It can be a lot. You know, I understand it. Go on our website and there's a million articles there, so you don't know where to start. Like, start with 1 week's content. And if your friends are looking to follow Army Football, recommend askforfootball.com/subscribe. Subscribe to our mailing list. I'm telling you, I did that like 3 times this weekend, and it was so much better and easier than trying to be like, oh, go to our social media or whatever. A lot of people are just not with that anymore, and I get it. That's how I feel too.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Mailing list is the way to go. We would still obviously appreciate if you follow us on social media, but getting into Twitter's path with NavyDaddy69, ain't nobody got time for that. So, revisiting fact or fiction from last week. Last week, Dan said the fan base has a total meltdown after this week's game. We said fact. Dan, it was a fact. Can you explain why that was a fact?
I don't know, man. I mean, like, running the As for Football email account, you see the craziest, like, I didn't even bring it up to you guys for the most part, but we get some truly unhinged emails, you know, and occasionally somebody sends us something that's worthwhile, but yo, there's a lot of stuff on there that's crazy. And, you know, some people were upset, and it was just, listen, it's one game. This team has won 22 games in 2 years. Like, you're going to lose a kid, you know, open on the road against one of the best teams in college football. Yo, that was never going to be easy. So, I don't know what people expected.
Yeah. So I said that, you know, speaking of social media, Davis wouldn't block us on As for Football. Not yet. Looks unlikely. We'll see what happens. And then Rob said 247 yards of rushing for Army. Dan and I said fact, and that was a fiction. So Rob was the only one that was correct. Yeah. So that was fact or fiction last week. Let's talk this week. Let's talk UTSA. Overall, they're a very similar team to Coastal Carolina. They won 12 games last year and the Conference USA Championship. They have a veteran QB who can run and throw. However, they finished in the top 25 last year for the first time in school history. A lot more veterans on the team overall, and lost to Houston last week in triple overtime. So either Houston is not that great or UTSA is really, really good. Dan, I know you have a little bit of a love affair with Frank Harris. Can you kind of take us through what you see in him?
The guy is good. He went 28 of 43 passing. That is 65%. Those of you who know me know that I think 60% is about where a quarterback needs to be competitive at the higher levels of college football. And 65% is kind of like the break point for who's really good and who's not. So he went for 65% completion percentage, 337 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Like I said, that's very good. It's not in the same stratosphere as Grayson McCall, but it's very, very good. He also led the team in rushing with 8 carries for 63 yards. That's a lot less good. UTSA's running game was honestly very mediocre last week. 28 carries, 104 yards, 1 touchdown. That's in 3 overtimes. Besides Frank Harris, their next leading rusher only had 13 carries for 34 yards. So, you know, I don't know what to do with that. But obviously, if you've got an elite passer, you also have to have some legit receivers. You know, they had 3 guys average. Well, they had 2 guys with 100 yards. That's Josh Cephas and Zach Franklin, and DeCorian Clark had 6 catches for 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. Going to be tough in the secondary this week. We'll see about the running game.
So Frank Harris is great. McCall's great. I think we can go toe-to-toe offensively with these guys based on what we saw last week. Defense is kind of where it's going to get a little dicey. Rob, what do we need to be prepared for?
All right, so their defense is really aggressive. They held Houston to 140 yards rushing at 3.2 yards a carry. That's not a very good thing. They went into 3 overtimes, so it kind of changes the numbers a little bit, because that's basically an extra quarter and a half that you're really going to play. It's about, you know, a couple extra series. 4 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, pretty aggressive on the front line. So obviously you can see that they're moving. Their linebackers are all seniors, and they all made all the tackles basically in the last game. So Dadrian Taylor had 10 tackles and 1 tackle for loss. Jamal Lignan had 10 tackles and 1 tackle for loss. And Trevor Hermanson had 9 tackles and 0.5 sack. So those are the three guys that we're going to scheme around. And that makes it difficult because usually when you have one outstanding linebacker, it's already tough to shut that guy down. These guys have three outstanding linebackers that are pretty aggressive. You know, watching Houston games, they usually take a little bit of time to get going. It's early in the season, but still, you know, the defense for UTSA is solid. And especially considering that time of possession was in favor of Houston throughout the whole game and the defense was still up to the challenge. I mean, again, overtime in college football, I think we could argue about that, the construct or how it goes down. But at the end of the day, when a team holds, you know, 35 minutes of time of possession, your defense is tired, regardless of whether it's regulation or not. But I think there's some opportunities to exploit these guys. Again, if they start cracking down too much, I think given the passing success that we had in the previous game, we can still, as a team, have an opportunity to take a shot down the field and at least keep the defense honest.
Yeah, it's, you know, one thing I think we need to kind of think about is, you know, Houston sometimes takes a little bit to get going, especially on offense and early in the season. But the UTSA defense is pretty legit. On special teams, we have kicker Jarrett Sackett. He went 2 for 2 on field goals, a long of 39, 3 for 3 in extra points. They used 2 different punters, averaged 41 yards. Special teams looks pretty solid. No kind of glaring deficiencies or issues or anything that we can kind of immediately exploit on that side of the ball. So, Dan, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, just at first glance, it looks like this is going to be a much, much tougher matchup for the Army offense, at least on paper. I mean, it's a little hard to take too much from the first game of the season, especially the first game of the season as placed by the Houston Cougars, one of the least predictable teams in all of college football. I still think, you know, we're going to learn a lot about this Army team. One would hope that the Army defense could shut down this rushing attack and get some heat on this quarterback. If they don't, I think we're in some trouble. I guess if you'd asked me which team was better early in the season, I probably would have said Coastal just based on, you know, how things have gone the last few years. But that's a complete gut feel. It's a little hard to put any actual numbers behind that. I will say I think it makes a big difference that these guys played to triple overtime last week, and now they got to turn around and go two time zones west to east for a noon kickoff game. Like, that is notoriously difficult, and these linebackers just played at, you know, a 90-minute regulation game. So if they have any hangover, hopefully we can exploit that. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if that turns out to be the case.
Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, triple overtime, even if you didn't play a full game, like or full extra quarter, that's got to be emotionally exhausting. So coming off triple overtime is going to be difficult. Like I said, I'm still waiting to see the next middle linebacker for Army step up. I think we didn't get to see that opportunity, and I'm hoping that sometime between the first initial stretch of the first 3 or 4 games, we start to see that quality player in the middle linebacker position for Army show up. Still concerned about the defensive line. I mean, our TNTs got nicked up in this last game, I think partially officiating, but I mean, you have a new defensive line coach. They've got some work to do, and I will reserve judgment until we get a little bit later in the season, because I legitimately think, you know, with a new defensive line coach, a new scheme, bunch of new guys starting for the first time in a while, and, you know, hate to say it, but that void from Nolan Cockerell was pretty well seen this week, and hopefully we can make some adjustments again. For me, the other thing that I would like to see, though, is that inside trap needs to be used more. I think as we started throwing the ball better in the second half, I think that inside trap would have been a great way, other than the fullback dives, to kind of work the ball inside, or at least set up that action and do the midline option so the QB can follow through if there's going to be a design run to do that. I like that counter trap. I just think it needs to get used more. I'm happy to see it when it does get used, but that's a play that Army can use with quite success after they kind of get the offensive loosened up or the defense loosened up with some of the other plays. But again, I think fullbacks are still the road to victory, and it's like we're closing in on I think 600 carries for Jacoby Buchanan without a loss of a yard, which is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, Rob, you're exactly right. I know, Dan, you love that kind of counter trap play. If we can use it more, that would be fantastic. You know, we saw Robinson have a lot of success with that. Mikey Stadium. Finally, it's been 9 months since we last played a home game at Mikey. So I think coming in, you know, Dan, like you talked about UTSA, you know, two time zones is a lot to go play a noon game. So, you know, you got that going on. Also Mikey Stadium, it's a home crowd. It's the home opener. There should be a lot of energy. You know, Mike, we've done very well at Mikey in the Munkin era, but especially in the last couple of years. Really only lost one or two games in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years at home. So should be a lot of energy going into this game. Defense needs to step up. Hopefully they've made some adjustments. You know, Nate Woody is really good about making adjustments week to week. So we should see some changes on defense, offense. Let's hope we can keep the success. Let's hope we can stay healthy, especially on that offensive line. It was good to see an offensive line where we didn't have guys going down all the time and, you know, missing blocks and reads and stuff like that. Overall, I think the O-line played really well. You know, credit to Coach Vitti, and would like to see them stay healthy. And you know, that might be the key for this game is, you know, how well our offensive line does, you know, moving those UTSA defensive linemen off the ball. Dan, anything else?
Yeah, the line on this game is Army plus two, which I think is a pretty good bet. I was a little surprised to see that. I mean, if you think about it, so they're giving Army 2 points, plus home field is worth 3 points, plus these guys played a triple overtime. That's maybe worth a half point. And then they've got to come two time zones west or east, as we already said. It's probably worth a point and a half. So they're saying that UTSA is 7 points better than Army on a neutral field. That I don't believe. Is UTSA maybe a couple points better than Army on a neutral field? Like, I think these teams are pretty evenly matched based on what I've seen over the last few years. You know, a couple of points is about the most I would say. Seven is a lot. So, I don't know who cares about this, but I would probably take Army plus the points. I don't know what's going to happen in this game, but mathematically, I think that's a decent bet.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Going to be really interesting to see how the guys bounce back and how they approach, you know, UTSA at home. Let's go on and let's talk fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Dan, you're up first.
Fact or fiction. Army throws at least 8 passes this week and completes more than 50%.
Oof. Man, I love the optimism, but I'm going to have to say fiction. 8 is a lot, especially for Army, and 6, maybe 5, sure, but 8, I don't know. We'll see. I'd love to be wrong, but we'll see.
Okay. Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jordan and say fiction. I think your initial, your brain kind of told you said what the answer was. 3? Yes. 8? I'm not sure. So I'm going to go fiction on that one.
So we went 4 of 8 this past week, and I didn't think that was an inordinate amount of passing, especially for this defense. 8 is a lot, but I'm still going to say fact.
All right.
So I'll jump in and, I'm going to say middle linebackers combined get 7 tackles this week.
Oh, man, that's got to be fiction. That's terrible. No, we got to have better production than that from the middle linebacker position.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say fiction as well.
I'm not sure what the production was this past week. Like, I didn't even look. I have no idea. But if that's where we were, then it's no wonder that these guys are running all over the place.
Yeah. And mine will be that Army rushes for more than 200 yards.
Wow, we've really lowered the standard for Army rushing. I'll definitely take fact on that one.
Yeah, I'll say fact.
Dude, if we rush for 200 yards and we only throw 3 passes, we're going to lose by 15 points.
Well, you're going to go up to 250? Would you still say fact if it was 250?
I would still say fact it was 250, yeah, for sure.
All right. Go 250.
All right, and I'll stick with fact on that one as well.
There we go. All right, Rob, over to you for the favorite thing, and you can close us out.
All right, so my favorite thing, so crazy as it is, and I can couch this, is how college football actually legitimately brings people together. So about 10 years ago, guy that I served with, he was my battalion commander's driver, trained this kid because the boss was like, hey, I don't want my PSO to be a slug. Teach him everything he needs to know to like keep me alive in this Afghanistan deployment. So I trained this kid. He is now a grown man. I say kid because that's just not a pejorative. It's just the way that I look at soldiers. You know, parents wouldn't make a decision that would get their children in trouble, I would hope. But I'm sitting there at the game about midway through the first series. Old Charlie walks up. And I'm like, holy crap, man. Like, I haven't seen you in 10 years. This guy's been sending emails to my .mil account for like the last decade and they've been bouncing back. And so I finally got to talk to him face to face, meet his daughter and his wife, and basically spent the whole game catching up with a guy that I hadn't seen in over a decade. So that was pretty cool way to kind of swallow that bitter pill of watching Army lose, but at least there's some halfway decent company during the process. So again, I think that was a pretty cool opportunity. And again, college football and being in the Army kind of brings people together. So I will pause there.
That is a great thing about Army football is you can see people that you haven't seen in forever just randomly walking around the game. It's not quite to the point of being deployed somewhere and seeing somebody that you know and love, but it's, you know, it's not nothing. It is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's Army football is a great uniter. So unless you're a Navy fan, then not as much. But, you know, my favorite thing is that Navy lost to the Blue Hens of Delaware. Do we want to unpack that for like 30 seconds at the end and just,
yeah. That's a teaser for the other show. We'll go into a little detail on the old college football roundtable on that one.
All right. Anyway, Navy lost to the Blue Hens. Listen to the college football roundtable to get that breakdown. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Make sure to follow us on social media and sign up for our mailing list. Consider joining our Patreon if you want access to shows early, you want to be a part of the Firsty Club, get access to exclusive content, and be able to interact with us during the game. That being said, go Army, beat UTSA.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast, As for Football, and Army Athletics. You can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.